Corey Graham joins us on the road. Are you in Brandon yet, CG?
Yeah, just rolled in about an hour ago here, Jason.
How long of a bus trip is it from Swift?
Well, we left from Regina. It was about it's about 3.5. There's a lot of snow out there right now. I mean, it's almost a whiteout out here. So
really?
It took a little bit longer. Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Oh, yeah, it's beautiful.
What movie did you watch?
Let's see. The fellas were watching. Oh gosh, I didn't even watch it because it was so terrible. I can't remember what it was called now. To be honest with you, I just buried my head in my iPad and just do something else usually when there's a bad flick on.
And do they like? Is it like one of those dumb bad flicks? Is that like what's so bad about it?
No, it was just. Man, I can't even remember what it was called. It wasn't like a funny movie or nothing like that. It was sort of a like a horror flick, and I was just like, oh man, I'm not into this right now.
Okay, horror movies are they're not good. Well, it wasn't a horror show last night for the Oil Kings. Kolba, though, I guess the opposition might have found him a little scary.
Yeah, he's been really good this year, man. He's been a guy that's really kind of stepped up into a top line role and has some chemistry, obviously, with Curtis Lazar. Had a couple goals last night in Regina, and that was a big win for the Oil Kings coming off that loss to Swift Current on Tuesday. Rebounding last night I thought was huge. Regina obviously has been pretty hot as of late. So for Edmonton to go in there and win kind of as convincingly as they did, I think that's a big building block for this team, I think, moving down the stretch.
Yeah, absolutely. Coaches always talk about that, Corey. As you know, you're not going to win them all, obviously, but when you don't have a not great game, you want to see bounce back. You don't want a loss to turn into two or three in a row, especially when you're on the road. You come back, the Pats had been pretty good, like you say, and that was a very convincing win. I listened to it. Good signs. What drove that turnaround in your mind?
I think, Robin, it really was watching kind of the Lazar line get going. You know, the night before in Swift Current, it was a Samuelson, Mraz, Petrick line that really sort of drove the bus. And, you know, last night they were obviously not on the board offensively, but seeing the other line sort of step up with Curtis Lazar, who'd been struggling, I guess, by his standards, had a point in four games. And, you know, seeing him get rewarded with a three-point evening, and I thought he was really good last night to really sort of kickstart this team. And, you know, they've kind of been, I don't want to say struggling, they've been above 500 as of late, but I guess you get so used to them stringing together all these win streaks, you're kind of wondering, you know, what's going on after they drop a game or two here or there. So I think it was really important for them to sort of get that balance throughout the lineup a little bit. And, I mean, Tristan Jarry was really good as well when he had to be in goal.
Corey Graham joins us, voice of the Oil Kings. They are back in action tomorrow night on TSN 1260. Corey, how has the power play been recently?
Not great. I mean, it's been the Achilles heel of this team all year long. You know, they've had a couple games where they put up big numbers against Lethbridge. They scored six when they scored that 12-0 victory, and that, you know, helped the power play jump up from, gosh, probably around 14% to up in your 20. But, you know, it's been sliding back down, and, you know, it's mind-boggling, to be honest with you guys. I mean, there's so much talent there on that team that you would think somehow they would get it going. And, I mean, we're not talking about game 15 here. We're down the stretch of the season where you think they'd have it all worked out. But it just I don't know what it is. And I know talking with Derek Laxdal, it's, you know, drives him crazy on the bench. And it's hard to watch some nights, man, from upstairs. You watch their power play, and it's tough to figure out what they're doing out there. And I know it drives the players mad. It drives the coaches mad. And it's tough because we all know when come playoff times, goals are few and far between. And, you know, that's kind of the difference between real good teams and teams that are okay, is they get those power play goals when they need them. And, you know, the Oil Kings aren't finding those right now.
When you look at their power play, Corey, are they not having enough motion on the power play? Are they settling for outside shots? Are they maybe not simplifying it and just going back to get guys in front of the net? What do you see as the things that they aren't doing?
Yeah, it's weird because I'll tell you, it looks like every time they come up the ice, they have a different system.
Okay.
It's almost like they have too many kind of set plays and set things where guys aren't all on the same page at different times. And there's far too many times, and I know Kent mentions this a lot on the broadcast at home, that, you know, they get their one chance and then the puck's out. And, you know, if they don't score in their one look, that's it. And you talk about not moving, and I agree, that's something they don't do enough of, but they're pretty stagnant, you know, in their positions. And it's hard to sit there and kind of find a, like, where that comes from, because, you know, you watch them practice and they're practicing moving around, they're practicing doing these different things, but when it comes to gameplay, they're not able to establish it. And it's like I said, it's really perplexing when you watch how good this team was last year. And I mean, hey, granted, they had some great offensive players that were able to score on the power play, but this year, you know, it's really been the thing that sort of held them back in some games.
So if it continues to struggle, Corey, has Laxdal given any indication that he'll either change the personnel You already talked about it looks like a different system every time. What can he do at this point, because we're not 2 weeks into the season, we're into the stretch here, to get this thing right, because you need special teams going into playoffs.
Yeah, and I mean, that's the thing. Their penalty kill is so good. It's so dominant when it's on the ice, and then, you know, what do they do? I don't know if you can change the personnel, because, I mean, you're not going to pull Griffin Reinhardt or Curtis Lazar or, I mean, Cody Corbett off the power play. I mean, they're the ones that seem to generate some things. So it's just the system, to me, when they get in the zone, I would like to see them simplify more, to be honest. I'd like to see them get it back to the point and get pucks to the net. They have, you know, Mitch Moraz is a great net front presence when there's pucks around there. And, you know, Brett Pollock's got a nice shot coming off the wall that they've utilized at times. But it seems like, you know, if something doesn't work right away, it gets switched up, and then we're looking at something different. And you're trying to, you know, again, I would imagine being the coach on the bench pulling your hair out when you can't seem to get anything going your way. So, you know, it's easy to say from upstairs when things look like that, you just want to simplify. But to me, that's kind of what I would look for.
Corey Graham, voice of the Oil Kings, join us back in action tomorrow night right here on TSN 1260. One last one, Corey. Cody Corbett gets the 3-year entry-level contract from Colorado. He's had a great year, a record-breaking year, most points in a single season by a defenseman, 56. Now I know he's up that, and most goals at 16. You see Corbett, now he's a 20-year-old, right? So a little bit of a late developer. Corey, what's been the biggest improvement in his game, and where you see him going to be a pro player, if he's ever an NHL player, what's the one element that's going to get him to the NHL?
Let's see, his biggest improvement, I think, you know, when he first came here up from the high school system in Minnesota, he was, he wasn't in Western Hockey League shape, number one. He was a bigger kid, and, you know, once he got sort of that taken care of, and he's such a smart, dynamic player on the blue line. He moves the puck so well, he can play physical when you need, you know, his skating's good, he went through two drafts, and you talk to scouts, and everybody that I talk to, at least, and I don't know if it's just because it's the hometown scouts usually, but everybody's perplexed as how that he was never drafted. And, you know, I went to a couple camps with the Minnesota Wild, and I know they were very happy with him this year, and even talking to him throughout the year about, you know, hey, keep it up, kid. But, you know, when Colorado came knocking with a contract offer, I don't think he was going to wait. So he got that done, and, you know, I think he's a guy that he's such a good teammate. You know, there's so many. You always say they're good kids, but, I mean, Corbett's a guy that you couldn't feel better for when he signed that deal, and he put a lot of pressure on himself to sort of pick up his game this year, and we mentioned all the offense has been there for him, so, you know, he's got a big shot, he moves the puck well, so, you know, he's got a lot of the attributes I think you need, and, you know, if he continues kind of, like you mentioned, the late developer, if he kind of continues that, you know, who knows where the limit is for him moving forward.
Well, Corey, we'll be tuning in. Enjoy Brandon.
All right, Jason, thanks. Thanks, Robin.